Boker Tov and Shavua Tov, everybody. Nice to see everybody. Hope you're getting ready. 2 weeks tonight is Rosh Hashanah. It's a little hard to believe, although it seems whenever Rosh Hashanah comes, either it's too early, it's too late, whenever. We're never quite 100% prepared, but I guess that's what many of these shiurim are, to get us in the proper mood and framework. And pleasure to see everybody. And like I always encourage you to invite a friend to join us. And the pleasure to have Rabbi Liebtag as our every week kicks off. That's the way we start the week, Sunday morning with shiurim and Torah from Rabbi Liebtag from Alon Shvut. And thank you, Rav. Rabbi Menachem, and we're going to start part two. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo, the biblical roots of the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah. Vakasha, Rabbi.
Okay, could you please mute everybody?
Yeah, we'll, okay. Yeah, everybody should mute themselves, otherwise we'll have to mute you.
Okay, it's a standby typo. This is class number two. Sure. Fix that later. Today's class, we're going to examine the primary sections of Rosh Hashanah Shmoneh Esrei, because we're getting ready for 2 weeks. It's a full moon tonight. The last time was already full moon, so it means there's 2 weeks to go. And we're going to see how the different themes we talked about last week, about the explained Rosh Hashanah, and as well as our previous classes, all come up in davening. So I want to give a word about, I guess this is Rabbi Jay's area. I hope I'm not going to contradict anything. I'm sure you agree with this. I want to talk about the primary structure of tefillah in general, and what Shmoneh Esrei is. Basically, in tefillah, there's two, I mean, there's lots of different kinds, but I like to differentiate between praise and prayer, or tefillah and tefillah. And praise, we basically praise God, talk about how great he is, or sometimes thank him, either just talk about how great he is in general, or sometimes hodaya, thanking him for what he's done. Prayer, I'm referring to as petition, where you ask for your needs. Ask for rain, ask for wealth, ask for health, ask for children, and whatever people pray for. That's classic prayer. Now, in our daily prayer, Pesukei Zimer, where I think you're in the middle of all that now, right? That's classic praise from cover to cover. Shema is something different. I like to call that Pledge of Allegiance. And but the main time we petition and turn to God for our prayers, for our needs, that's Shmoneh Esrei. Even though Shmoneh Esrei itself has Shevach, has praise in the beginning, and thanking in the end, but the main part of Shmoneh Esrei is the middle part is we pray for our needs. Now, everyone knows that there's a principle that we don't pray on Shabbos, meaning what? Daily Shmoneh Esrei, the middle 13 that we talk about, that's asking for our needs. We ask for wisdom and for understanding and for tshuva and for health and for wealth and for redemption and things like that. That we do in the middle, but on Shabbat we don't say those things. Because we don't want to, that's a good question why we don't, but Shabbos is different. We don't pray for our day-to-day needs on Shabbat, but we do pray. So just as for the fun of it, ask yourself, do you ever wonder what we do pray for? We're definitely praying for something. So in the middle section, which is only one blessing, it's called Kedushat Hayom. I'll just take a minute and take a break for a minute. Did anyone ever pay attention to?
It's like a short from what's inside the weekday Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah.
And what else is there?
That's the main point.
In other words, you have a one line that summarizes the whole middle of the weekday Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so get rid of it quick.
We're going to go in that direction, but we want to see what's going to be different between Shabbat and Yom Tov. There are things we pray for, but in a nutshell, I want to summarize it in one word. I want to show you we pray not for our personal needs. We pray to be good Jews. We're praying not for our personal needs. We're praying for our needs to be connected to God. It's a day dedicated to God to reflect. And we're praying on Shabbat, on our main Shmoneh Esrei, is give us the ability to keep, and we're asking God to help us be good servants. I'll try to show you that inside, but we also have to talk about the topic of the day, as we'll see in a minute. Now, so let's share my screen again. I'm sorry. We'll go back to the thing. Now, so Yom Tov Shmoneh Esrei has a very simple structure. Now, after we have a Melech HaKadosh or a Kel HaKadosh, depending on the day, we have Atav HaKartanu. Every Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Regalim, we all start with Atav HaKartanu. We're going to spend a little time on that. Then we define the day. Batiten Lanu, we fill in the day. It was, we thank God for giving us a special day. And we have to see what name our machzor, our siddur, gives to the name of the day. Then we have Yalla V'Yovo in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And then Elokeinu V'Lokei Avoteinu is our founder prayer. And on Rosh Hashanah, it's Melech HaKolam Kula B'Chvodecha. I'll just see what I have an Ansfaria here on my, where's my website? Here we go. Here. After Kedushat Hayom, I'm just opening up a siddur. Yeah, we do Atav HaKartanu. Let's get Mitzvah Shabbos. Batiten Lanu Hashem Elokeinu. We fill in the day, Yom HaZikaron. Then we do Yalla V'Yavo. And then Elokeinu V'Kenu Melech HaKolam Kula B'Chvodecha. And then we have the final bracha, and then we go to Ritzei. Just a quick reminder of what we see every time in our siddur and our machzor. So I want to take each of those sections tonight and try to understand them, how they relate to what's the biblical source. Now, Atav HaKartanu is basically, I like to call that, if you want to look at something to reflect on why we're chosen or the fact that we're chosen, if Yom Tov is a time to reflect on our special relationship with God, so we're going to remind ourselves of that we're chosen and why we're chosen and what that responsibility that comes with it. So let's take a look real quickly at that section. Okay. Everyone remembers, you know, you chose us from all the nations. Okay. See the word Bachartanu, Bechira, big theme in Breshit. Ahapta Otanu, out of love you chose us. You elevated us from all the nations, from all the different languages, which means the nations. You sanctified us or separated us with your, by keeping the mitzvot. You brought us closer to you to serve you. And your great name, right, is associated with us. Keep those in mind. Okay. Now, I want to show you one source in Chumash which covers most of them, which is, we read it recently in Parshat Ekev. In Sefer Devarim, in chapter 10, starting in Pasuk Yudbet, there's a famous question which Moshe Rabbeinu asked the people in his speech. It says as follows, Vata Yisrael. Again, chapter 10 in Sefer Devarim. Vata Yisrael. Now Israel. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomimach. What is it that God wants from you? Big famous question. Well, it's real easy. Like basically everything. Kim Lirat Hashem Elokecha. He wants you to fear him. To walk in his ways. That's a big phrase all through Sefer Devarim, which means to emulate God, which is doing justice and righteousness. To love God, like we say in Shema. To serve God with all your heart and all your soul. That's all the key themes, of course, of Sefer Devarim, right out of Shema. Okay. In addition to that, that's primarily attitude. So to emulate God, to love him, to serve him, and give your whole heart to it. And then to keep his commandments, keep God's mitzvot and his laws, which he's commanding you in this big speech. And then he says, basically, God has everything. Maybe it seems like, why would he need you? But even though God has everything, nonetheless, he chose you. Chashak Hashem, here's this, had delight in you. God wanted you. Okay? And therefore, he came out of love. He chose us. And out of love, he chose the offspring of Abraham and Yaakov, Yitzhak and Yaakov, from all the nations, as this day when they're in Sefer, in the 40th year in Sefer Bamidbar. So if you take a look at Atav HaKartanu, I should have done this with, to make this small and do the arrows here. Here we go. I didn't do this so good, did I? Okay. So Atav HaKartanu Mikol Amim. Where's my little arrow? Arrow. What happened here? Oh, here we annotate and arrow. Okay. So Atav HaKartanu, that matches Vayivchar Bezaram, right? Ahavta Otanu is Lava. What else we have? Ratzita Banu. That old is Chashak. Okay. From Tanu Mikol HaShonot, that's Vayivchar Lanu Mikol HaMim. Okay. Kirashtanu B'Mitzvotecha is Nishmor Mitzvot Hashem Elokecha. I'm running out of spaces there. And Vekirta Lavorotecha, that's Lavorot Hashem. Hope you got that. I think, I'm not sure who composed that Atav HaKartanu. It's rather ancient. but I think it's very much based on this section in Sefer Devarim. Now, let me hope that was clear. Let me just erase all that now. I just did the arrows so you can show my point. If the purpose of Yom Tov Davening is to remember your connection to God, you know, and your special connection to God and why you're chosen, then it makes sense that in Tefillah, we take the section. One second, let's go back to my mouse.
Rabbi, I would just make the sources a little bigger. They're a little smaller.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I just did it so I can make the arrows.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now. Okay, thank you.
If I take this section in Chumash, what is it that God wants from you? Got it? To do all these things. That's a good thing to talk about on Yom Tov, isn't it? When I begin Shemoneh Esrei. So before I ask, if I'm going to pray to God to be a good servant, I sort of want to like reassess my position with God. It makes sense that the opening section of Yom Tov Davening is pretty much quoting or built on this section in Sefer Devarim where Moshe is asking, what is it that God wants from you? So I think it's simply, remember, our title is The Biblical Roots of How We Daven. I think this is a good biblical root of the Atah Barchatanu. Now, the only line we don't have is the B'Shimcha Gerov HaKadosh Aleinu Karata. God's reputation, his great name, is associated with us, which is the biggest theme we saw from Sefer Bereshit, we'll return to very soon. You know, in other words, it's not only we have to serve him, but the underlying reason why we're serving God is for God's name and reputation to become great. We sanctify God by how we praise him, how we talk about him, and how we act, and how we behave, and how we set a model in the way we run our communities and our nation and our day-to-day behavior. So we're going to get to this last line, which is a big theme in Devarim, because in Devarim, right afterwards is the whole theme of Hamakom Hashivchar Hashem, the Shaken Shmo Sham, the place where we're going to gather in the temple in Jerusalem is going to be the place that God chose to make his reputation known. So the theme of God's name and reputation is all through Devarim and every else in Chumash we'll see very soon. Now, so that's the first section. If I go to the next section, Vatitan Lenu Hashem Elokeinu Ba'avad Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, Yom Tru HaMikra Kodesh. So we give the holiday two names. We call the day Yom HaZikaron, okay? And then we call it Yom Trua. Now, which is it? You know, what should I call? What is Rosh Hashanah? It's not called Rosh Hashanah because it's the first day of the seventh month. But should it be Yom HaZikaron or Yom Trua? So last week, this is based on what we did last week. Last week, we saw the two times where Rosh Hashanah is defined in Chumash. In Vayikra chapter 23 in Parshat Amor, we're told on the first day of the seventh month, have a day of rest, Zichron Trua. Okay? That defines the day. A day of Zichron Trua. We won't translate it for now. And then in the parallel source in chapter 29, which we didn't have a chance to see last week, we'll do it again this week properly. In Parshat Pinchas, in the seventh and the first day, have a time of gathering, can't do any work. Yom Trua Yelechem. It'll be a day of Trua, a day of blowing shofar. So based on this, what should be the name of the holiday in Davening? Should we call it Yom Trua or Yom HaZikaron or Zichron Trua? So there's a famous midrash I'm sure you're familiar with, that if Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, remember, we only talk about blowing shofar. And if it's not on Shabbos, we blow shofar. But that's a smacht of the rabbis. But that's the way the rabbis remember a rabbinic law that developed later on. But in Pshat, what is the day? So I want to show you, I want to prove today, that the name that we use in Davening, Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, is very precise. There's a good reason in Yalei V'Yavo and in Davening, in the Chatima. Remember when we finish Shmoneh Esrei, Mekarei Shisro B'Yom HaZikaron, not Yom HaTrua. The day is Yom HaZikaron, it's the day of judgment. For God remembers us, and we're being judged by God, we have to remember that God's judging us. It's a day of judgment. We blow shofar to remember that we're being judged by God. By calling it Yom HaZikaron, not Yom Trua, the sitter is emphasizing the main point of the day. It's a day of judgment. I mean, the main thing that God needs is not for us to blow shofar. We're blowing shofar as a wake-up call to remember that God's judging us. So if I would call it by definition Yom Trua, I'd miss the key point of the day. By calling it Yom HaZikaron, that's the important thing. And then we mention Yom HaZikaron, that's what we do on that day. We blow Trua, we blow the shofar to wake ourselves up because it's Yom HaZikaron. But it's important to note that the main name of the holiday is Yom HaZikaron, it's a day of judgment. And we blow shofar to remember we're being judged. We don't have to blow shofar, we have to hear the shofar, and the shofar has to wake us up, not God up. Now, I'm going to show you something which I think is interesting. Okay? I'm going to spend a couple of minutes in chapter 28. I want to show you something, why Yom Teruah is what we're doing on the holiday and not the essence of the holiday. Because if you look at Parshat Emor, when you study Parshat Emor in favor of Vayikra, that defines the holidays. Chapters 28 and 29 in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshat Pinchas, that's going to be what we do on the holidays. I'll try to explain what I mean. If I go to Sefer Vayikra, the title there is called Moadei Hashem, the times that we meet, times set aside to meet God. That defines the holidays. That's going to explain what the holiday is. So let's take a quick look. Let me stop my share and open up a Chumash. I'm going to open up a, let me share my screen with my, we have the Machzor here. I'm going to open up a Chumash here. In Sefer Bamidbar, first I'll use the all Hebrew one and then I'll switch it in a minute. Sefer Bamidbar, we have a Dibur in the beginning of chapter 28, which begins with the daily Korban Tamid, followed by the weekly Korban on Shabbat, the extra Korban Musaf, the monthly Korban Rosh Chodesh, and then we have the holidays with Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Shavuot, and then chapter 29, we have what we call Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Now, those are pretty much the names of the holidays in Parshat Emor. But if I take a look in Parshat Emor, let me switch to a regular Chumash now. We don't want that one. We want a regular Chumash. Here we go. Here, let me show you something. What I want to show you is in Parshat Pinchas, we talk about what we do on the holiday. If I look at we're not going to call the holiday by its name, but rather by what we do. So take a look. On the first, let's skip to Passover. Here, we have Rosh Chodesh here. In the first day, in the first month, on the 14th day, we bring a Korban Pesach. That's what we do. On the 15th day of the month, of the first month, there's a holiday. What do? We eat matzah for 7 days. Shivat Yemei Matzot Yachel. It doesn't call it Chag HaMatzot. It says we have a holiday, and we eat matzah for 7 days. What I'm pointing out is, in Parshat Pinchas, in Sefer Bamidbar, we talk about what we do on a holiday, but not the name of the holiday. It's what we do on the holiday. Because then we bring the special sacrifice, the special korban we'll talk about later on. Now, what do we call Shavuot? We call Uviyom Abikurim Bakrivchem Mincha Chadashah Lashem. The first time we bring for the new week, it's also called Chag HaChatzir, it's the end of our grain harvest, but the first time we bring grain, the Svelvot, the wheat, that we bring to the Beit HaMikdash, which we bring every day, the first time we bring grain from the new harvest in the Beit HaMikdash is on Shavuot, what we call Shavuot. But what's special here, on the day that we bring the Mincha Chadashah Lashem, the Korban from the new grain, so we talk about what we do on the holiday, not the name of the holiday. We don't say on Shavuot or Chag, we say B'yom HaKippurim Bakrivem Mincha Chadashah Lashem, when we bring the new offering to God. Now, you'll see in a minute, you'll see why we did this now. If we go to chapter 29, on the first day of the seventh month, what do? Yom Teruah Yelechem. What do? It's not called Yom HaZikaron, that's the name of the holiday. What do on the holiday? We blow shofar. I'm trying to explain why Yom Teruah is what we do, and not the essence of the holiday is what we do. Let me prove it from Yom Kippur. Look what Yom Kippur is called. On the 10th day of the seventh month, have a gathering. And what do? V'initem et nafshotechem. You do what we call inui nefesh. Remember, we don't eat, we don't drink. It's not called Yom Kippur, is it? In Emor, it's called Yom Kippurim. It's always called Yom Kippurim everywhere else. But here, it's talking about what we do on the holiday. Hope that you follow that. V'initem et nafshotechem. Don't do any work. Look at Sukkot. On the 15th day of the month, didn't say celebrate Sukkot, have a gathering, don't need work. You have a 7 day holiday. It doesn't call it Sukkot. It doesn't, it just says you celebrate for 7 days. That's it. And then we bring the special Korban. But I'm trying to show you that all the holidays, and on this eighth day, you have an atzeret, you have a gathering. That's what we do. But I'm trying to show you that all through the holidays, in Parshat Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar in chapters 28 and 29, we don't call the holiday by the name of the holiday. We refer to the holiday by the date of the lunar date, but we talk about what we do on the holiday. Therefore, when we get to Rosh Hashanah on the first day of the seventh month, what is it? Yom Teruah, that's what we do on the holiday. Right? Now, just like on Yom Kippur, what do? V'initem et nafshotechem. We afflict our souls by not eating, and that's the five inuim we talk about on Yom Kippur. That's not the essence of the day. It's a day of kapara. But that's what we do on the day. In the same way, the essence of the day is Yom HaZikaron. What we do on the day, we blow shofar in order to remember it's a day of judgment. In the same way we do, the goal of Yom Kippur is not to fast, not to eat, but rather it's to achieve kapara. So that was just a key point. Now if I go back to our machzor, I'm trying to explain why is it that in our prayer service, what do we say? That's the day of the holiday, the name, and that'll be the bracha. And then we describe it. Here's what we do on the holiday, Yom Teruah. Okay, now, so again, what we said, and on Vayikra, if you look at Vayikra, you'll see the Moedim. We call it Sukkot, we call it Shavuot, we call it Yom Kippur, the regular holiday. Now let's get to Yalav Yavam. Because this is a day of judgment, we talked about this last week, we'll see it now inside. I tried to show you last week that we need to remember that we're being judged by God. Remember, the rainy season's about to begin, and the rain is going to determine the outcome of the year. Who's going to live and who's going to die? We need to remember that there aren't many gods. There's no rain god and fertility god and all the Canaanite gods that other peoples believed in. There's one God in charge. But it's not we have to repay to that God. That one God who chose us to serve him will give us rain and fertility and good agriculture based on our deeds. Okay? Now, because we're being judged based on our deeds, we want God to give us a good judgment. Remember the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the four times a year we're being judged. Remember in the agricultural key times of the agricultural year that we discussed last week. So because we're assuming we're being judged this time of year, it's a Yom HaZikaron, therefore what do? We're asking God to give us a good judgment. But when you're judging us, what should God take into consideration? What should come up before God? Ya'aleh, v'yavo, v'yagia. These are different, I think, seven different ways that we describe what God should consider when judging us. You're being judged. Now we're ready for the sentencing. So therefore, what should God take into consideration? Remember the things that we've done, but also remember things that our ancestors did for us. Remember, we have this concept of Mashiach. We have a goal. We have to become God's nation and with proper leadership. We have a special city. You shall be dedicated in your honor. We have a whole nation in your honor. So basically we're saying, God, give us a break. Maybe we don't deserve too much, but look at all the things we've done before and look at our future, look at our past, look how much we're dedicated to you. And don't look at every little thing we're doing wrong. Look at the bigger picture. And therefore, based on those considerations, we want you to have your midot rachamim, remember, chen, chanina, chesed, rachamim, to give us, have mercy on us, that we should live and have peace on this day. And therefore, judge us today with a good judgment. Zachrenu b'latova, and give us a good blessing, and save us. Remember, we'll see why the word Hoshienu in a minute, for life. We'll see the psukim is coming from. And therefore, with this promise of salvation and your attributes of mercy, have mercy upon us, and then save us, because we're turning to you. Our eyes are turning to you for help, because you are a melech hanun brachum. Basically, we're turning to God, assuming God has his attributes of mercy, unless all the attributes of mercy are included here. Remember, Hashem el rachum v'chanun, el rachapayim, rav chesed v'emet. We're asking God to take all those in consideration and give us a good judgment. But again, we have to be worthy of that. Now, what's this have to do? How do we know that this is we say, again, we're called Yom HaZikaron, is it? And why do we know we're being judged? That we saw, should war be imminent in our land? We saw this last week. Should war be imminent in your land and your life is on the line, and we assume that God is behind the war and can affect what's happening, whoever the enemy may be, what do? We blow shofar, we blow a teruah with the trumpets, and we have to remember that we're being remembered, being judged by God, and then God will save us from our enemies. That's Voshinu. See the word Yeshua, Dvar Yeshua V'rachamim, Voshinu, Bochem Tovim. That's Yeshua, that's the teruah, and that's the time. And then even when we're not at war, but on the holidays, Yom Simchat Moedechem, Rosh Chodeshechem, these are all the times we say Yalav Yavo. We blow shofar, we blow the trumpets for a zikaron in front of God. And that's why, because of Pasuk Yud, every holiday, every Moed, and every Rosh Chodesh, we say Yalav Yavo. because we're being judged all the time by God on the special times. And because we're being judged, we're asking God to take into consideration his attributes of mercy when judging us. So that's the middle section. Okay. Now we get to the Chatimah of Shmoneh Esrei, the closing prayer, Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, that some of the meaning this year was quoting for us. What are we asking for? This week, Al Kedushat Hayom, this is defining the day. What's the essence? What are we hoping for? We're asking basically not for our personal needs. Remember, on a daily basis, we pray for refuah, for good health, and for making money, and for what's called parnasah, and for prosperity, and for redemption, and saving from our enemies, and redemption. But on Yom Tov and Shabbos, we pray for our connection to God. So we're hoping that God's kingdom should be everywhere. Everyone should recognize God as king. So we're the first people to declare that on Rosh Hashanah. But here's our hope that God's kingdom should be recognized by everybody. Now, listen carefully. So we're asking God to reign over his entire, with his glory over the entire earth. Okay. And to elevate yourself over the entire land. Now, listen carefully. Every person who moves, okay, and every person who has a neshama, everyone who breathes, it's everything you've created. In other words, every living being, every living human being should say, right, everyone who has the ability to talk, what should they say? Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Umachotah B'kol Mashalah. I want to focus on this phrase, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. What's that mean? Hashem, the God of Israel. Isn't he everyone's God? We want God to be king over everyone. How come we're calling Hashem the God of Israel? What I want to claim, whenever we have this phrase, it means this is the God that Am Yisrael talks about. We're not saying this is the God who takes care of Am Yisrael. We want our job to be accomplished. This is a prayer that we accomplish our goal. We're hoping that through our behavior, the way we talk, and the way we keep God's mitzvot, that will associate our existence as a nation with the existence of God and what God expects from all humankind. So we're hoping that everyone will see and understand this God that we're talking about. And we're hoping that everyone will see the God that we're talking about. He's the one and only God, and his kingdom is everywhere. And that would lead to good behavior. How do we accomplish it? By keeping God's mitzvot. Okay. Following his Torah. Receiving good reward for our good behavior. And we pray to God now that he cleanses our heart to serve him with truth. Because you can serve God in a phony manner as well. Because you're a God of truth and your words are true. And then we bless God. He's king of the whole land. He sets aside Israel and this special day to remember these things. Now, I want to try and prove to you this idea that Hashem Elokei Yisrael means this is the God that we are talking about. And that's why talking about God is so central in davening in our praise section. Let me do a different, without doing it, we've done this year before probably. There's a theme of it called God's name, Shem Hashem. I want to just bring one example. Which relates very much to davening, but in Sefer Bereshit, there's this theme of calling out in God's name. Just to refresh your memory, when Avram is chosen, the first thing he does when he gets to Israel, the highlight of his first journey is he comes to Israel. First he goes to Shechem, and then he goes to Beitel, and in Beitel, he builds a mizbeach, an altar, and calls out in God's name. He goes down to Egypt, comes back from Egypt, and what does he do? He returns from Egypt, goes back to Beitel, and again he calls out in God's name. Almost all the classic commentators will tell you, what's he doing there? He's making a name for God. He's not calling to God in prayer, but rather Ramban and Sforno, et cetera, say he's talking about God. He's making a name for God, spreading his name. And everyone agrees, we're going to read this on Rosh Hashanah on the first day, after Avram makes a treaty with Abimelech, after Abimelech sees that God is with him, and they make a treaty in Beersheba with the seven lambs, etc. So they build it. He builds like a, I call it Chabad house in Beersheba, where he gives food and drink for everybody. And what does he do there? He calls out, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. So what's Avram doing? Avram's making a name for God through his behavior and actions and the way he talks. Now, in Sefer Bereshit, remember, Noach is chosen by God to be the CEO of recreation. And remember, Noach waits 500 years to his 500. Everyone else having kids when they're 100, 150. No. In the first millennium of the first century of their life, Noach waits 500 years before he has children. What's he waiting for? The flood comes at year 600. So it seems like Noach is waiting, doesn't have children until he finds out about the flood. And knowing that he's going to continue civilization after the flood, he wants to make sure that at least one of his children will bring this concept of God's name, God's reputation, to the world after creation, after the flood. Therefore, one of his children is called Shem. Remember, Shem, Ham, and Yafet? Yafet is about beauty. Ham, whatever the underlying reason for the name is, there's different reasons for it. But the strange thing is, why is he calling one name?
Okay, I wanted to know how you're doing.
Second. You got that, Rabbi? Okay. He wants to call one of
all
his...
All alone in that big house?
Okay. I got it. Okay. For some reason, he's calling... He calls one of his sons. He calls his son Shem. Which is a great question. Why is he calling his son Shem? What I want to claim is, he wants Shem to be a rabbi. He wants Shem to make a name for God. What's my proof? After he gets drunk and gets sober afterwards, and he curses Canaan for what he did, who does he bless? We all say he blesses Shem, which he does, but listen to what he says. He says, Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem. He blesses God, the God of Shem. What does he mean, the God of Shem? He's the God of everyone. He's everyone's God. But Shem must be the son who talked about God. So Hashem is associated with Shem, because what's Shem doing? Shem is talking about God. That's why Noach called his son, basically, Noach wanted his son Shem to be a rabbi. It's not by chance that later in Chumash, in fact, after the story of Migdal Bavel, where man makes a name for himself, and Asalanu Shem, the genealogies, let me show this something here real fast. After, open up a Chumash real fast again. Where are we? Here we are. If we look in Bereshit, let's open up an English one to make it easier. If we open up Bereshit chapter 11, right after the story of Migdal Bavel, where man's making a name for himself and Asalanu Shem, and God's not happy and starts him, we begin the story of Avram Avinu. Okay? And Avram Avinu's genealogies begin with Elet Todot Shem. Okay? We begin genealogy starting from Shem, and then from Shem we get to Arpachshad, and then to then we have Shalach, etc., until we get to Terach. And Terach has three sons, Abram, Nachor, and Haran. And then Abram makes Aliyah. So the life, the whole story of Abram Avinu begins with Todot Shem in Sefer Bereshit. So this idea of Shem is a key theme in Chumash. And if Shem, that's why Chazal understands Shem as the first Rosh Yeshiva, at least thematically. Because he's making a name for God, and that's going to be the ultimate purpose of why God's picking Abram Avinu. That's why God tells Avram, I'll make a name for you so you can make a name for me. Remember, Vescha, I'll make you a great nation. But God, Lashemech, I'll make your name great so you can make my name great. So when we say in davening, in Rosh Hashanah davening, we want God to become king, we're asking God that he fulfill his goal. We're asking God that the goal of why we're chosen should be fulfilled. So if I go back to, what are we asking for? We want every living person on earth to say Hashem, the God that the Jewish people are talking about, he's the king. Now, the only way that can happen is if the Jewish people are acting properly. So if we don't keep the mitzvot properly and follow his Torah and serve God with truth, it won't work. So thematically, this theme of davening is central, because when you understand that, when you internalize this idea, you're not praying to God, for your personal needs. You're reminding yourself of exactly why you're chosen and what's the ultimate goal of God's people. If you really understand this message and internalize it, then you'll be a good person during that year. So that's why this part of davening is so important. And you want to serve God, you want to serve God with truth. Now later in Musaf, we'll talk about Musaf a little bit, but remember Bachiyot begins with Aleinu L'Shabeach. So in the first section, it's our duty to praise God, etc. But what are we hoping for? We're hoping that God will see God's greatness everywhere, and we want to get rid of all evil. And what are we hoping for? V'chol v'nei v'asar yikru b'shmecha. We want everyone to recognize your name and call it your name. So first, we remind ourselves in Aleinu, it's our duty to praise God and talk about him. And our hope is, okay, in the Kabbalah, what are you hoping for? That ultimately everyone will recognize that and serve and do away with evil and be good. Again, that's going to be the introduction to Machiyot, which is a reminder, not only that God is king, but he's our boss, and we're chosen to serve him. So that was the section on Aleinu I wanted to go through. And again, there's some sources here which we've done before, but the theme, I'll just do the theme in Devarim chapter 4 about this idea of making a name for God among the nations. Here, this, I'm sorry, open up a Chumash again. I'm going to open up Sefer Devarim now, chapter 4, which we read recently in Parshat Ekev. Oh, sorry about that. We don't want Mishle. We want Sefer Devarim. In chapter 4, verse 5, I'm sure you remember this. Moshe tells the people, understand, I'm teaching you all these laws, which God commanded me to teach you to keep in the land you're going to. Ushmartem basitem. Make sure to keep these laws properly. Why? This is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nations. The nations will hear about these laws you're keeping and watch our keeping, and they'll say, Rak am chacham b'levon agoya gadolze. This nation is wise and smart, this nation, by keeping God's laws. Remember, we have the same thing by Yosef. This phrase, am chacham b'levon, we have it by Shlomo, but we have it first by Yosef, where other nations, where Pharaoh in Egypt, remember Pharaoh tells Yosef, Ein chacham b'nachon b'kamocha, there's no one like you with wisdom. And he sanctifies God. Remember, Yosef attributes everything to God, to Elohim. And just like what Yosef accomplished in Egypt, that's what we need to accomplish as a people. Because who's a nation who has a God so close to us, like our God, because we pray to him and he answers us? And where is there a God that has such just and upright laws like our Torah? And therefore, by keeping the Torah properly, that'll sanctify God. So this idea that we have in davening of the purpose of our chosenness and making a name for God, and other nations to say the God of Israel is king, I think that's a good source, that's a good biblical source for that section of davening. Okay, and let me just finish up now. Now we talk about the korbanot. There we are. I want to review something we've done before. So that was, that's Shmonesrei of Yom Tov. And again, what the final blessing is, that God is king over all the land, not just on us, but on everybody. But he set aside Israel and the day of judgment, because we're chosen to serve him. We need to remember that he holds us on a much higher standard, and we can be judged harshly, and we should be judged harshly. Therefore, we have to be on our toes, and we dedicate Yom Zikaron to Midat Adin, to knowing what God expects from us, how harsh he should be. But then we're going to remember on Yom Kippur that God can forgive, but we have to be worthy of his forgiveness. That's already a thing for Yom Kippur davening. The idea of God attributes of mercy. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is just an introduction to Musaf in general, because this is the davening we say every Yom Tov davening, you know, be it Marv, Shachris, Musaf, and I'm sorry, Mincha. This is all basic. This every time. On Musaf, we add the Korbanot. Now, and then on Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, we have the Malchiyot, Zichron, Shofrot. I'm sure you'll have a share on that later on. I think Rabbeinu gave it last year, all the Pesukim. I don't think we'll have time to do it in this series, but I just want to talk about one item of Musaf, which is as follows. In Parsha Pinchas, I talked about in chapters 28 and 29, what ties Parsha Pinchas together, the topic is not the holidays. The topic is the daily sacrifices, the Korbanot Tzibur, the public offerings in the Beit HaMikdash. And what were they about? Each holiday, we talk about what we do every day. We bring two lambs. Every week, on Shabbat, we bring a double Korban Tamid. We bring in two extra Kvasim. Rosh Chodesh, we bring an extra Korban, we'll see. A very complicated one. And then on Chag HaMatzot, and on Shavuot. So in all the holidays, we bring a special Korban. Now, so we talked about the structure and the logic of chapters 28 and 29. It's not, the topic is not the holidays, the topic is Korbanot Tzibur, the public offerings that we bring every day and on the special holidays. And we noted the name of the holiday in Emor versus what we do on the holiday in Pinchas. Now, what I want to pay attention to, and most of this you probably know by heart, which offerings do we bring? So every day is a simple Korban, a little lamb every day, that's fine. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh and the holidays, the sacrifice we bring is much more complicated. We bring an olah, burnt offering, and a chatat, a sin offering. And it's the only time that tzibur, the community, we bring a sin offering as a community. Now, a yachid, a single person, can bring a chatat whenever he does something wrong unintentionally. But the tzibur has to bring a chatat as a group on the holidays. Now, even though every holiday is a little bit different, the basic format is the same. The olah is a combination of cows, parim, an ayo, a ram, and kvasim, and lambs. If there's cows, rams, and lambs. Now, how many cows? It's either one or two, usually. Sukkot is a little bit different. We'll leave Sukkot alone for now. Other than Sukkot, what do we have? There's either one par or two parim. Rosh Chodesh, we'll see. On Rosh Chodesh, on Chag HaMatzot and Shavuot, we bring two parim, two cows. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzer, we bring one cow. And that's how we know that Shmini Atzer is related to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. On all of them, we bring one ayo, we bring one ram, right? And on all of them, we bring seven kvasim, seven lambs. And for the chatat, the sin offering is always a goat. Got it? Now, the question is going to be, why on Yom Tov, why all these sacrifices? Now, all of a sudden, God got hungry. But why all of a sudden on Yom Tovim, do you have so many different animals that we're bringing and so many different numbers and different types? There's got to be a reason for it. And it can't be that God's hungry and he needs an extra feeding on the holidays, because God doesn't need food. We have to bring something symbolic of our relationship with God. What I want to claim is, again, our biblical roots of our prayer services. I want to claim that behind every sacrifice that we bring, specific one, there's some biblical theme we need to remember. If I quote Hosea, remember when Shema Prem Sfatenu, we don't have sacrifices today. But we mentioned the sacrifice, and saying the sacrifice is as though we brought it. But even when we brought it, there was a reason to bring it. Just like blowing the shofar is supposed to wake not God up, but ourselves up. Okay? Bringing a sacrifice, specific animals, is supposed to remind us of our themes, of why we're chosen and how we relate to God. So I'll start with the easy ones. If I want to understand, why is it always one ayo? How come I'm bringing a ram for an olah offering? Anyone wants to tell me why? That's like real simple. What's that supposed to remind us of when we bring ayo chadola? I'll just show you the korban again, you know by heart. On Rosh Chodesh, you bring an olah for God. Two cows, one ayo, one ram, and seven kvasim. And after then we bring a flower offering. And a series of machadachatat, one goat for a sin offering. If you didn't look ahead on the source sheet, anyone want to suggest why we bring an ayo?
Yitzchak.
No, it's a no-brainer. We need to remember the Akedah. Now, what's the theme of the Akedah? You can argue, but there's definitely some theme there about our connection to God and dedication to God. It's not by chance that we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah. So that's the ayo simple. I'll get the next simple one. This is like the biggest no-brainer. Why is the sin offering for the nation, for the tzibur, always a sirizim? It's always a sirizim achadachatat.
Yosef.
Okay, that's so simple, right? Remember Yosef, we'll see in a minute, they took the coat. Now I want to talk about why parim and why kvasim. So here. So the Akedah, that's the easy one. By Savra, Metina, Vayarvine, Ayo, Acharnechas, Besvach, Bekanav. Ken Vekacha, Ayo, Vayadeil, Lo'ola, Tachat, Beno. So again, my point is that when we're bringing sacrifices to God or saying that in our Siddur, it's not to feed God, but rather to remind ourselves of a key message that Chumash is giving us in its stories and in the background of why we're chosen. Now, so that's the landing for the first day, second day of Rosh Hashanah. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, remember we talked about the birth of Yitzhak, but at the end of the landing, it's not by chance that we read another story that after, towards the end of Avram's career, and he had many interactions with Avimelech, after all those interactions and events, right, what happened? Avimelech and the head of his army, Avimelech is the typical king that we want to have. Remember, his father's a king. He has an army. I mean, he's your typical king of a foreign nation. He's having a positive relationship with Avram. You know why? Because what does he tell Avram? Elohim imcha b'chol asher ata oseh. God is with you in everything you're doing. And they make a treaty. Remember? They make this big treaty. And the symbol of the treaty, what does Avram do? He puts aside seven lambs as a symbol of the treaty. Okay? And Avimelech asks Avram, what's the meaning of these seven kvasot? And he says, this is a symbol of the treaty between us. They make a covenant in Beersheba. Got it? And what's Avram do in Beersheba? He calls out in the name of God. He makes a name for God. So, and if remember at the end of the Akedah, everyone talks about the Yitzhak come home or not, what happened? What's the last line of the Akedah story? Who remembers? What are we told? Avram returns to Be'er Sheva. Remember? And he settled there, okay? Remember, he gets up. Avram gets up. He goes to Be'er Sheva and he dwells. He settles down in Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva, Avram, Be'er Sheva. I think that's connected because despite or because or after the Akedah, Avram doesn't give up. Instead, he's more dedicated, even more dedicated to his mission to make a name for God. So I think this theme of what we lay in on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but the idea of seven lambs and the theme of being a light to other nations and having an effect on other nations is a good theme for Rosh Hashanah and might be the reason why we bring seven lambs every time on the holidays. What are we left for? We're left with Parim, right? Let's go back. We had Ayo, the Akedah. The seven Kvasim is Avram and Avimelech. This is Yosef and his brothers. How about Parim? Parim is the easiest one. Why? Because we were there. When we all said Nasa v'nishma in Har Sinai, remember in Shmot 24-7? I'm sorry, by Yosef. I should just bring the quote inside. By Yosef, the Chatat. Remember, they took Yosef's coat. By Shchutu Se'irizim. They shechted the goat. They dumped Yosef's coat in the blood. They sent it to the father to make him think it's his fault. Remember, you sent him. Remember? They want him, and basically they're doing that to put the blame on their father. It's the symbol of collective sin of the Tzibur and Sinat Chinam. Now, the story doesn't end there. The story ends when the brothers 20 years later finally do repentance, and learn from their mistakes and have regret and remorse. It's a story all about Tshuva. So therefore, when the Tzibur, when the nation of Israel brings a communal sacrifice, a sin offering, we have to remind us of a series of Yosef and his brothers to the point that on Yom Kippur, when we're bringing a korban for the tzibur, for the nation, what korban chatat does the tzibur bring on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We bring two sirim, one inside, one going out, but it's always a sirim, bichush shnei sirim. Whenever the tzibur brings a chatat, it's always a sirim. And don't be surprised on Yom Kippur when we have the piyut about the 10 martyrs, it starts with Yosef and his brothers. That's what's behind the piyut. It's a beautiful piyut. It's a, you know, it's a poem, but it's pointing to the whole theme of baseless hatred. Now, in Har Sinai, when we said Nasa v'nishma, what do we have? Moshe wrote down the Torah. Everyone remembers. Let me just close this and open up a regular Chumash because I didn't put the English here, and that's less familiar with that one. Let's open up Sefer Shmot. This is easy. It's Shmot 24-7. But in chapter 24, Moshe comes down, tells the people all the laws. He writes the laws down or whatever God told them to write. And what's he do? He gets up in the morning. He builds an altar at the bottom of the mountain. 12 monuments represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They bring olot and they bring sacrifices to God. What sacrifices do they bring? At Har Sinai? By his b'chuz, v'chim shlamim, l'ashem parim. Only one animal at Har Sinai, only the best. We bring cows.
We don't see
we don't see the screen, do we? My mistake. Thank you for reminding me. And I better share my screen again. Here we go. Thank you for pointing that out. Here we go. Okay. So again, Shmo 24, Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, tells the people all the words of God. Moshe writes down all the terms of the covenant with God between the people. He gets up in the morning. He builds an altar at the bottom of the mountain. 12 monuments for the 12 tribes. He sends the young people there, who's ever officiating, and they bring sacrifices, olot and shlamim. But what animal? They bring parim. They bring cows. Moshe takes the blood of the cows, right? He puts them in big containers, and half the blood he puts on the altar. And then Moshe takes Sefer Abrit, which is either the Ten Commandments or the agreement to be God's people, or the big argument, but it's the covenant agreement between God and his people, right? And he reads this covenantal agreement out loud to the people. And what's everyone say? Nasev Nishma. It's easy to remember. Good old 24-7 and Sefer Shmot. Okay. What happens next? This is the blood of Parim, right? Vaychach Moshe et Adam. Vaychach Allah. Moshe takes the blood, throws it on the people. And what's he say? Hinei dam habrit asher krat Hashem imachem al dvar me'ela. Okay. This blood that's being sprinkled, the dam of the Parim, is your reminder of this covenant between God and his people. Remember, Vatem Tidim Amlechet Kol Nivugah Kadosh? As the breed is in Shmot Yishmo, if you follow me, and you'll be my skula, and you'll be a nation separated to serve me, Amlechet Kol Nivugah Kadosh. That was the brit they made at Har Sinai. So the symbol of that brit will be the blood of Purim. So if I want to go back now to my, to all the korbanot and all the Yom Tovim, they're symbolic of the key themes of Chumash of why we're chosen. So let's go over them one more time. Where are we? We have, again, Purim remind us of our commitment as a people to serve God, our commitment at Sinai to be God's people. That's the blood of Purim. How many? It can be one, it can be two. That changes based on the holidays that groups them. We'll talk about Sukkot in a minute. We bring one ayah to remember the theme of the Akedah, which is our personal relationship with God and devotion to God. Seven kvasim is remembering the theme of being a light to other nations. And the chatat is always going to be a reminder of sinat chinam, of baseless hatred, and the need to recognize your sins and do remorse and repent, and everything that comes with this, everything we learn from the story of Yosef and his brothers. So again, assuming God doesn't need to be fed, but we need to do something symbolic in the temple to remember our connection to God, which is the essence of davening. So when we daven Musaf and we pray for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt and bring these korbanot, even if we had the temple rebuilt, the purpose of the korbanot wouldn't be to feed God and something magical, something kinetic. If we can achieve the same thing by saying those prayers, then just so we brought the korban, and that's exactly what Chazal say, that the tefillah corresponds to the korbanot. Doesn't replace them, it serves the same purpose, because even when we had sacrifices, the idea was to understand their meaning and what they represent. So we can achieve that nowadays through prayer. So again, that's the main thing in Shmoneh Esrei and Yom Tov. So I simply want to tie all those themes together, what I call the biblical roots of our davening. Just a minute on Sukkot, that requires a whole shir. Maybe we'll do it before Sukkot. But Sukkot is a Tishrei holiday. So on the one hand, Sukkot is thanking God for the end of the fruit harvest. We're saying thank you. But it's also a part of Tishrei, which is looking forward to the upcoming rainy season. And therefore, all the holidays in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Elul, Shmini Atzeret, also relate to the upcoming judgment of the upcoming agricultural year that we talked about last week. Now, as such, Sukkot has a double nature. Got it? Because on the one hand, it's one of the Shel Shvagalim. We're thanking God for our harvest, like we did on Shavuot. So it's one of the Shel Shvagalim, where there's a chiyuv of Adi Al Regel. It's also one of the Yimei Din. It's like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret. Now, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret, we bring one par, one ayin, seven kvasim. So Sukkot, what do we have? So it should be, we'll get to the parim in a minute, but instead of one ayin, we have two ayin. One because it's a Tishrei holiday, one because it's a Shel Shvagalim holiday. It's a pegmat. Kvasim should usually seven. We have 14. We double it because it's seven for each aspect. Yeah. The chatat is always one. That's the chatat is always the same. And parim change. Now I call it my pun is on Sukkot we go ballistic. Got bulls. We have a lot of amount of cows or bulls that we bring. So we bring a total of 70. How we get to 70? It should be three, right? Two for Shel Shvagalim and one for Chagei Tishrei. That's three. So there should be 21 altogether. But then we're going to add 49. We're going to take 49 because 7 times 7. So altogether, 49 and 21 is there 70. So that's how we get to, and then we work backwards. Again, why we do that? That's complicated. But that explains, but basically Sukkot has double korbanot because it's a double. The best way we remember it is that we say Hallel on the one hand, thanking God, and we say Oshanot, worrying about the upcoming year. So that, you know, our custom to say Hallel and Oshanot. Remember, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but we say Hallel on Shavuot and Chag HaMatzot. But our prayers for our future as the Oshanot, remember? It's prayer for the upcoming season and rain. Hoshana Rabbah's Tfilat Geshem. On the other hand, it's also a halal for thanking God for last year's crops. So that's, okay, my time's up. So we'll stop here and let's see if there's anything in the chat. I think we have too much. We have the sources. Oh, wow, no questions today. What happened today? Okay. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead, Yehuda.
Yeah, Yehudi. Why are there only one part in the three Tishrei holidays? I didn't get that straight. Two in the Pesach Shavuot, Rosh Chodesh Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Shmini Atzeres just get one? Why is that?
I think they just formed the. I'm not sure why specifically one. Maybe one because Hashem is one God. I'm not sure what it is, but the fact that somehow they have one, some have two, that forms a group, and that ties all the Shlosh Regalim and Rosh Chodesh together because all the holidays are Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. So by having two on Rosh Chodesh, Chag HaMatzot and Shavuot, that ties them together as a group. But the main thing, the one part is going to tie together Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret. And that's why Chazal understand that Shmini Atzeret is a day of judgment. That's why we have Yisker, that's why we have Tefillat Geshem. It's because of the Korban we understand that there's something, that Shmini Atzeret is a day of judgment. It's the end of the Tishrei holidays. It puts the
Rosh Chodesh is also Zikaron.
Yeah, but it's more like Rosh Chodesh is going to be it's not going to be the same group. We want to group together Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret.
Now, so you could group Rosh Chodesh with that group.
Yeah, I could, but again, Rosh Chodesh also relates to the new moon and the holidays all being related to Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Coming out of Egypt.
Right. Wow, so
it makes sense. The fact that Rosh Chodesh relates to Chag HaMatzot makes sense. Because Chag HaMatzot comes with Parshat HaChodesh, it makes sense that it'll be the same idea. But I'm not sure whether the number is so important. The fact that we have groups, that we're grouping them together, twos and ones, I think that's the main thing we're doing. Again, maybe there's a better reason, but nothing. That's the most I could think of for that.
Thank you.
Sure. And there's one other thing in the chat here. That's the sources. Okay, that's good. Okay, we sent the link again for the sources. Okay, Rabbi, announcements?
Yes, Ananda, just everybody, we look forward to seeing you more during the week. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, Dr. Lindsay Guhartz will be continuing part two on Sefer Yonah, and Rabbi Avi Wolfish will be continuing part three on the sort of a literary analysis of Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. I say, if you haven't learned Mishnah in this, it's a very different approach to Mishnayot, and I invite everybody to come. I invite everybody to come to Olah Shurim. And Monday night, Mark Shapiro is back after a summer hiatus. He was in Italy and Portugal with us, and so he'll be doing three more parts. That's the plan, to finish up the series on the rise of Reform, the rabbinic response, and then post Yontif, probably beginning on the Musar movement, the battles over the Musar movement. So Mark is back on 8:30 Wednesday night. Tuesday, Gila Rosen, Rabbi Gedalia Berger, Adam Inns, Marty Lakshin. On Wednesday, Rabbi Israel and Dr. Benny, Menachem's good friend, the neighbor. On Thursday, Rabbi Yitzchak at Shalom will be giving the Parsha Shir on Thursday evening. And of course, I'll be giving my Shir on the Siddur. And Rabbi Liebtag, I have often quoted your idea that Sukkot being a double holiday and the 14 sheep. And it's, I've even taught that at chat, you should know, that I heard from you many years ago. So I want to thank you for that idea. So again, it's, nobody pays attention, nobody. People don't pay so much attention to Korbanot, and that's really beautiful. And you're right to see the unit one or two, but it's clear that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret go together. So that is, thank you for that. I'm sorry.
It's one of the reasons for Shechianu, remember, on Shmini Atzeret.
Yeah, it's right. It's the regal b'fnei atzmo, right? Yeah. But it's and that, of course, get why they wear the kittel and the geshem. It has the mood. Shmini Atzeret has the mood. I've often said, Israelis don't like this, but Yisimchas Torah and Shmini Atzeret is like almost shatnes, they just don't work together. And of course, as Simchas Torah was developed only at Chutz Laretz. Came back to Israel, we put it together because the moods are so different. Even though, of course, from a Torah point of view, it's Yontif, I understand, but the way we celebrate the 2 days and the way it developed and only in Chutz Laretz, they're so different. And it's sort of so strange being in Israel on Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah. I assume you agree with me.
Yeah, because you do Yisker and you have Hakafas the same day.
Yeah, it's, somehow it doesn't land, but okay, that's what can I say? What can I say about that?
But
yeah.
Yes, the ritual that when they made Simchas Torah, we could never come out on Shabbos.
Right, Simchas Torah can never come out on Shabbos. Shabbos, right?
Second day Yontif, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying it developed because
Shmini Atzeret, it has to.
It developed, of course, only in Chutz Laretz. I have the fantastic book here. right here, you know, written years ago on Toldot Chag Simchat Torah, you know, 500 pages, development of Simchas Torah. But but Shemini Atzeret has that mood of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur it's supposed to have. Now, I see people are still thinking comments. No. Can we persuade? Okay. All right, Rabbi, you can go. I assume Mincha is finished already. No, when's Mincha?
Actually, I have Mincha now Mincha. We have Marv in 5 minutes.
Marv, yeah, in a few minutes. Okay, everybody. Pleasure to see everybody. We look forward to seeing you soon, as early as tomorrow. And please invite your friends to join us and have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and I guess a wonderful year too. So all good.